Welcome to Wall Builders. Got a great program for you today. Appreciate you joining us. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, and I'm here with David Barton and Tim Barton. David's America's premier historian and our founder at Wall Builders. Tim Barton, of course, national speaker and pastor and president of Wall Builders. You can learn more about all of us at wallbuilders.com. All right, David and Tim, our friend Kelly Shackelford's going to join us a little later. I was just talking to a group. Where was I? I think I was in Utah. Anyway, I was at some event, and we were talking about, you know, constitutional principles, constitutional freedoms, all the challenges in the courts. And we were talking about the fact that we have more religious liberty than we've really ever had in our lifetime, at least. We've been at this battle for a very, very long time. And thankfully, Kelly Shackelford's been at the front of that, you know, multiple cases before the Supreme Court. But we asked Kelly to come on later in the program because we've got a great question from the audience about this very issue. So here's the email, guys. This is what we got. Let's chat about it a little bit, and then we'll get Kelly on a little later. It's from an actual teacher that was listening to our program. I thought this was really cool. The teacher said, I've caused quite a stir in my community after attending the Wall Builders Teachers Conference. Actually, not listening to the program, going to the conference in the summer. She said, I put the Ten Commandments in my classroom, the national motto in the hall, and I told my church, we have more religious freedom than we've had in 75 years. Many were excited and have been telling all the teachers they know that they could put the Ten Commandments in their classrooms. The teachers don't believe them. Could you please do an episode that we can send to our teachers explaining what they can and can't do in the classrooms? We could then send it to them and get good morals and true history, which doesn't leave God out. Get that back into our schools. People are willing to do what they can as long as they know they are operating within the law. Please help us. And there's quite a few exclamation points there, guys. She said, you know what? What a sexist statement. I don't know if it's a girl or a guy. The teacher said it's a public school. It's K through 12. It's actually out in the Ozarks. It's in Missouri. So you would think it wouldn't have gotten that bad in those areas. I've been trying to tell people it's in the best communities. The schools are still bad there. This is just really cool. So she came to our conference in the summer. Tim, are we doing that? I'm assuming we're doing that again this summer. So teachers that hear this today could actually come in and get hands-on training, not just hear the advice from Kelly Shackelford here in a few minutes.
Well, they certainly can. And actually, they might hear the advice from Kelly Shackelford this summer, too, because we'll usually have one of our friends from First Liberty come over and give a brief for the teachers on what the current position of the law is, a current interpretation, so they know really where they have the freedom and flexibility. Of course, from the wall builder side, we might tell them, hey, constitutionally, like, here's what you can do. But then our friends at First Liberty will show up and say, here's what legally you're protected to do, and here's where we can help defend, represent you, guide you on these issues. But yes, we do this conference every summer. We do a couple every summer. And if people go to the Wall Builders website, they can look for our teachers conference. And I believe the signups are already there for this year. We will take applications in through probably, I don't know, March or April is when we'll give confirmation for teachers that come. We only take about 50 or 60 teachers per session. And it's really because we want to be able to give them a really hands-on experience as they are there. And so there's a limited amount of people we can have in the museum at the time as we're handing things around. And so this does fill up. We always have a huge waiting list every year. So please, if you want to come, sign up, get on there early. We do rank it a little bit. And so if, for example, we've had college presidents and professors and superintendents and principals. And so for some of those people that have a higher position with further reach, we try to include them so that they can take that back and have influence on so many other teachers, et cetera. So there is a little bit of a weight and rank system for people that come, but we do ultimately want everybody to be able to experience it at some point. We also do what's called a family seminar, which I think we'll probably even have links on our website. We do that in a partnership with the American Journey Experience over with Mercury One. And my dad, Glenn Beck, and I, it's a two-day seminar that it's a kind of big picture history from Columbus up until progressives took over in early America and changed so much of it. And so if people can't make the teachers conference, and really for anybody listening, if you're not a teacher and you want to come get some really incredible training, hands-on history from my dad, Glenn Beck, and myself, being able to go into the vault and see things, you can sign up for the family seminar. So lots of information on the Wall Builders website about all these things.
Hey, Tim, I got to say, man, I can't imagine for a teacher a better way to make their classes exciting and make that history come to life than if they've been to this, right? Because there's something about holding those documents, being in the museum, getting to see these things, hearing from you guys firsthand. I was just telling a group last weekend, I hated history in high school and college. I slept through that stuff. It wasn't until I heard David Barton speak had a cassette tape. They laughed because nobody has cassette tapes anymore. And learned that stuff and heard that stuff that I started loving history. So for a teacher that's doing that every day throughout the year, I'm telling you, you need to come do this. It will light your class up. You'll love it. It'll make you a better teacher. I can promise you that.
And one thing about it is the summer sessions, you do get equipped. I mean, that's part of the reason for this question, because this teacher was there and heard the attorneys. And what happens is when you go back to your local school, this is so radically new to them. They say, you can't do that. Or the school board attorney says, well, that's unconstitutional. The timeout. We're talking to the guy today that in the last two sessions of the Supreme Court has won four cases at the U.S. Supreme Court. I think that's going to beat most local school board attorneys that maybe have a local practice. And Kelly is a constitutional attorney. And so this is where they get the information in the summer, and they go back and they start applying it, and you get the pushback that we're seeing right here. And this is a great time to have Kelly on to say, hey, here's what you can do. And so the emphasis of this is, hey, we have doors open to us that have not been opened in our lifetime, but that will not change a single thing unless somebody walks through that door and starts making a difference on the other side, which this teacher did. So we need to find out from Kelly, okay, what she's talking about, putting the Ten Commandments up, putting God We Trust back up. Is she getting pushback? Where is the courts on this? What can be done? So great question for Kelly. It's going to be a great answer. And once we get that answer, I'm going to encourage everybody to be really aggressive with it. Go to your own local school board. Even if your teacher has not come and heard Kelly and been trained on this stuff, you need to take this and get active in your school to start pushing back on this kind of stuff.
Kelly Shackelford from First Liberty will be with us. Quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Wallbuilder Show.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. Joseph Story is one of the most important names in American jurisprudence. Not only was he placed on the U.S. Supreme Court by President James Madison, but he also founded Harvard Law School and authored numerous legal works on the Constitution. While today's revisionists claim that the goal of the First Amendment was absolute religious pluralism, Justice Joseph Story vehemently disagreed. He declared, "The real object of the First Amendment was not to encourage, much less to advance, Mohammedanism or Judaism or infidelity by prostrating Christianity, but was to exclude all rivalry among Christian denominations." According to founder Joseph Story, Christianity, not pluralism, was the goal of the founding fathers in the First Amendment, for only a Christian nation is tolerant and thus is truly pluralistic.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.
Welcome back to Wall Builders. Thanks for staying with us. Always great to have Kelly Shackelford with us. Well, you guys at First Liberty, I tell you what, you are restoring liberty, not just defending it, but restoring liberty in the country. You had the biggest religious liberty case probably of my lifetime with Coach Kennedy. So many other cases as well. Our listeners are asking, what can we do now that we have more religious liberty than we've had in so long? And even had some questions about Ten Commandments. Had some teachers actually had taken our program and got excited, put the Ten Commandments up on the wall in their school. They're getting some pushback. So we said, hey, let's get Kelly to just kind of give us a little update and see if you're seeing pushback around the country as well.
It's the problem is most people have no idea that the law has changed, that these major decisions have come down. And so, when you've been trained for 50 years that, you can't do something, you can't have a nativity scene before Christmas on the county lawn. You can't have prayer before, an athletic event. You can't do all these different things. Then you think that's the way it is. But that was all based upon one case that was wrong, that's now been completely reversed. And so you can do all these things. Everywhere that a cross went down, the cross can come back up. The Ten Commandments that were rolled in the closet, they come back out. And one of those rulings at the Supreme Court that was based upon this wrong case was out of Kentucky, and they said, they had Ten Commandments in every classroom, and they took it out. Well, that's no longer good anymore. That ruling isn't. So there's all kinds of things that people can do that this hostility to religion approach that was never what the Constitution says is over. It's just now up to people to sort of take their communities back and to have a nativity scene at Christmas and maybe, a menorah for Hanukkah and these things. It's time to bring these things back, but that depends upon people doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like a reversal of 50 years ago when the ACLU would fly around the country and threaten schools and make them stop doing these things. Now we've got to be the ones flying around saying, hey, the Supreme Court's supporting you now, and the Constitution's always supported you, and, you know, live your freedom. So there's really an education process that's going to take place. As a teacher does something like this and they get pushed back, what's the best way for them to respond? Is there, you know, should they send people to firstliberty.org? Is there a particular article or video you guys have made that would help them to use in their local community?
We've got a lot, but I'd say the first place they might want to go is we put up a website in particular just for this whole issue of things changing. It's called Restoring Faith in America.
Oh, that's right.
RFIA, Restoring Faith in America, RFIA.org. And it tells people, here's what just happened. You can do all these things now, and it gives examples. But, you know, Rick, really there's endless examples of what people can do. I mean, for instance, one that we didn't even think of, but people immediately saw after our case they could do, is the state of Texas passed a new law that says you can have a chaplain in all of the public schools. And so, you know, there's just endless examples of what people can do, but certainly the simple things are like, you know, having a display that is, you know, a religious display is okay. We're not anti-religious display in this country. And this idea that we can't, you know, have a Christmas celebration, a Hanukkah celebration, these things, that's over. And this idea that school somehow is a religion-free zone. Yes, we don't want the government to ever use its power to coerce anyone, to force them. You know, but that's what it was about. It was the Establishment Clause is about not establishing a national church and forcing people to support it. It wasn't about shutting down religious expression by people, which violates the First Amendment.
And wasn't that a big, you know, real turning point with the Kennedy case, was that the left had said for 50 years, if you express your faith, that is coercion because someone else might feel compelled to do it. And this was basically saying that's ridiculous. You know, people make their own decisions. Watching someone else live out their faith should not be intimidating in a free country.
That's
that should
exactly
be encouraging.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, somehow they don't have that problem when it comes to any of the bad things that are being said. You
right.
know, I mean, if you wanted to get up and talk about how, you know, you know, it's okay to promote that somebody should question their sexuality, well, you know, that's, you know, that's okay. But if some coach across the field, you know, 300 feet away is saying a prayer and you could see him, oh, well, that might influence them. Well, you know what? I mean, welcome to a free country where people have a right to express their ideas, even if they're wrong, and even if they're religious. And we don't censor people from expressing themselves because that expression is religious. And in fact, religious expression is, you know, right at the center of the founding of this country. So it's something that is really more protected in some ways than just free speech, because you got two fundamental rights at play when it comes to free speech and its religious speech.
Amen. RFIA.org, folks. RFIA.org. Kelly, before I let you go, I mean, this is, you know, talk about this, like 20 lifetime achievements here in getting this case itself and how big this turned things around. What are you looking at next? What's the next big battle for you and for First Liberty that you can tell people about?
Well, we've had four wins now in the Supreme Court in the last 2 years. And, you know, the obviously the Kennedy case is huge, but so was the Groff case, which affects everybody's religious freedom in the workplace. So there's some great victories, but we now have to build on those. I mean, for instance, take Groff. I mean, just because people now have a higher standard of protection, you've got to apply it. And so what that's going to, I think, now allow people to do, it's going to protect people who are victims of DEI attacks in their workplace. You know, we've got people who are fired because the DEI division, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Division, said that they had bad beliefs. Well, you can't do that. And now we've got a high standard of protection after the Groff win last summer. So we're going to play these out. You know, people fired for using the wrong pronoun. And we've got four or five other cases right beneath the Supreme Court, any of whom could go to the Supreme Court, that are really across the board in all kinds of different religious liberty issues. So it's a great time to move forward now. We've got a good court on religious freedom. And therefore, we got good precedent we're creating, and it, It's sort of like, you know, let's make hay while the sun shines.
Yeah.
Because it's shining right now. God is doing something, and the opportunity is here. And so if people want to follow any of this, they can go to firstliberty.org and get involved. I especially encourage them to get that weekly alert. They go down about, I don't know, a half page, and they can sign up for the Insider. And every Friday they'll get an alert on four or five major cases or something that's just happened that week on religious freedom. And it's a great way for them to pray, to inform others, and to just stay involved in the issue.
FirstLiberty.org. Definitely get on that email list, folks. I also encourage you to donate. Kelly and his team go out and defend people for free, and it's because of our support. So please go there and help, but for sure get on that email list. Kelly, I couldn't help but chuckle as you described that. So diversity, equity, inclusion in the left's mind is if you have bad beliefs, we need to get rid of them. That's very diverse.
That's right.
That's very inclusive. that's unbelievable. Thank you, brother. Thank you for all that y'all are doing to bring sanity back to our country. Also want to encourage people to go to RFIA.org, especially if they're in the middle of a fight like this teacher that sent in the email for us. Kelly, God bless you, brother. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rick.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back with David and Tim Barton.
Have you noticed the vacuum of leadership in America? We're looking around for leaders of principle to step up, and too often, no one is there. God is raising up a generation of young leaders with a passion for impacting the world around them. They're crying out for the mentorship and leadership training they need. Patriot Academy was created to meet that need. Patriot Academy graduates now serve in state capitals around America, in the halls of Congress, in business, in the film industry, in the pulpit, in every area of the culture. They're leading effectively and impacting the world around them. Patriot Academy is now expanding across the nation, and now's your chance to experience this life-changing week that trains champions to change the world. Visit PatriotAcademy.com for dates and locations. Our core program is still for young leaders 16 to 25 years old, but we also now have a citizen track for adults. So visit the website today to learn more. Help us fill the void of leadership in America. Join us in training champions to change the world at PatriotAcademy.com.
Back here on the Wobbler Show. Thanks for staying with us. That's Kelly Shackelford. Appreciate him joining us. David, Tim, we're always, you know, talking about these great victories at the Supreme Court. And I have to admit, when I was kind of thinking about that summer of love where we won all these cases, the Bruin case on the Second Amendment, overturning Roe v. Wade, this Kennedy case, all this, in my mind initially, when I kind of ranked those three or four big cases, I didn't have this one at the top. But now that I think about it, the Kennedy case and religious liberty really should be at the top, because now that teachers can do the things that we're talking about here, that's the heart of all of it. Because if you get God back in the equation, people end up voting better. They end up thinking better. They end up living better. So really what Kelly's saying is we now have a decision from the Supreme Court that gives teachers the ability to restore the education that will produce good citizens instead of having this valueless secular education that we've had for the last 50 years.
And this is the kind of thing where that parents and grandparents and others, we really have to get aggressive on this. Don't expect the kids in school to go in and make a change in the school. That's not where the change comes from. It comes from outside of the kids themselves. It comes from the teachers, comes from the parents. And, well, I don't have a kid in school, so I can't. It doesn't matter. You're a taxpayer. As long as you're a taxpayer, if you've never had kids in your life, you still have the right to go into the public schools and work to get things made right. And it really is significant because you are training the next generation of leaders. And if you train them with the philosophy that God has to be kept in the closet and that you can't acknowledge your faith publicly, man, you're undermining the Constitution, the Declaration, our very form of government, our limited government, all of our inalienable rights. When you take God out of the equation or push him to the back, our whole philosophy of government is totally different. And so that has to be something we work on. And bless the heart of this teacher for trying to be aggressive and go after that, getting pushed back. Well, you know, Kelly and these other guys are happy to help come to the aid, but every one of us needs to be doing that kind of push. There's a great, great Bible verse, the 2 Kings 7, verse 3, where some guys are sitting around and they're looking at how bad it is that they've got this big war going on and there's a big famine. And they look at each other and say, hey, why sit we here till we die? We're not doing nothing except complaining about what's going on. Why don't we go do something? And those four guys, and they happened to be lepers, they got up and went and actually found that the entire situation changed. And they brought the news back, and it changed the trajectory of the nation of Israel by what these four guys did. Everybody else was sitting around, and they got off their duff and went and did something, and it changed the whole direction of the nation.
I just want to make sure we clarify terms for our audience when you say they got up off their duff. I'm wondering if that's the donkey they were sitting on or something else that they were sitting on of their own.
Well, if I go to athletics, they got up off of their butt and went and did something. So, that's a little closer.
In our house, actually, it's your rear end or your backside or your bottom because, you know, my 4-2-year-old, we're not quite to the elevated status of the butt yet. However...
Let's just say they got involved, right? They got in.
You know, Dad, one of the things worth noting, too, even about that story, is it reminds me a little bit of a Daniel, a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for those lepers, because when they said, why sit we here until we die? What they knew is that as lepers, if you go into this camp, you are the outcast. You're not supposed to be there. You show up, they might kill you. And these lepers said, yeah, but we're starving to death anyway. If we're going to die anyway, let's at least try to do something that might advantage us. And as you mentioned, they went to the camp and found the entire camp. The enemy had gone and left everything behind, and it was all there waiting for them. And, you know, for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they took a risk, not knowing what price they would pay, but knowing the risk was worth taking. And I think that's part of where we are today is we've come to a point that we can't just sit back and wait for somebody else to solve problems. It's not going to be convenient for most of us. And it might have consequences with it, but we have to be willing to embrace the consequences to do the right thing. And Rick, one of the questions you asked about where to find this, and Kelly said, well, it's Restoring Faith in America. That is an incredible website. At First Liberty for years has done a really good job of having resources available for pastors, for teachers, for students to know what are their rights, what are their freedoms. But now, over the last couple of years, because of these decisions that we've been talking about, the whole program from the U.S. Supreme Court, there is now the overturning of bad decisions that gave bad precedent that led to the removal of so much of the religious freedom that we've had in America, really from the founding era, where the founding fathers intended. That is now all back on the table. But we have to be able, or we have to be willing to fight for it to be able to get that back. And for people that want to know, well, what exactly can we do? It's not just what should we do constitutionally. What does the law allow right now? Because maybe if you're a teacher in a school and you want to do something, what can you do? You can go to Restoring Faith in America, or you can go to First Liberty, to their website, and you can look for the teacher's guides. But Restoring Faith in America will have some of those updated stuff that will let you know exactly, based on these court decisions, here is the new standing and precedent. If you want to take a stand for that, there might be pushback, but if there is, First Liberty is very happy to, at no expense to you, send a letter from an actual attorney's office to the principal, superintendent, school board, whoever it is, to inform them of what the current standard is now according to the law. And then, if the superintendent or the principal or the school board says, nope, you still can't have the Ten Commandments up in your classroom, they are now violating the law, and they are now liable for suppressing the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, expression, etc. So this is something really important for teachers. Go to Restoring Faith in America. And really, it's important for all of us to know what those are, because maybe you're not a teacher, but there's probably a teacher at your church. Probably you are friends with someone, and maybe one of their kids, one of their grandkids is a teacher. We all know people in the education system. We want to be able to help guide them, coach them, and encourage them to stand up with these freedoms that we have.
And let me close it with a thought here. It's a historical thought. It goes back to a famous minister named Matthias Burnett. And in talking to the people of that generation, he reminded them that they have a charge and an accountability, not just to God, but to the younger generation. This is what he said. He said, "Let not your children have reason to curse you for giving up those rights and prostrating those institutions which your fathers delivered to you." In other words, you're going to answer to God, but the next generation, you're answering to them. And hopefully our kids won't look at us and say, you know, I couldn't make a difference in the school, but my parents could have made a difference and they didn't do a stinking thing about it, or my grandparents or anybody else. This is the kind of thing where we'll answer to God for what we do or don't do, but also we have a direct impact on the next generation, and we don't want them to look badly of us and think badly of us because we refuse to get involved.
What an encouraging program. But just as David said at the beginning of the program, you know, we win these cases, the law changes, it's on our side, but we have to act. We have to do something about it. So really encourage you to do that. in your communities, in your schools, in your churches. I mean, there's so many areas that we need to reestablish that freedom of religion in our country. I hope that you'll do that. I hope you encourage your pastor to be a part of that. And in fact, I'm looking forward to, there's some great pastors' conferences coming up in the next month or so. Really need to get your pastor plugged into those things. Liberty Pastors is one of the ones that we work with. Paul Blair, who comes on the program often, a pastor out of Oklahoma that does a phenomenal job training pastors. And he actually has these really cool retreats where it's like a vacation for the pastors, 3 or 4 days at nice places. I think the one in end of February is in Georgia, St. Simon's Island or Jekyll Island or one of those nice places. Anyway, you should check that out and send that link to your pastor, libertypastors.com.org. Can't remember which one it is, but get them to go find that and make sure that they have an opportunity to plug your pastor in, get your pastor and their spouse to go to one of these conferences. They are truly, truly remarkable. And that one in Georgia, I'll actually be there. So it's going to be kind of cool to get to team up with Pastor Blair and hang out with those guys and be a part of the solution. The pastors that come, I'm telling you, they go home on fire. Like it's just, there's something about being around other pastors that are getting engaged in the culture and being part of what is going to make a difference for the culture and actually win this thing over. And it can't be done without the churches, folks. Just can't be. It's got to be done with the churches. And so make sure that you've got your pastor involved in that as well. And actually, I just looked it up. It's libertypastorsu.com, libertypastorsu.com. And get them involved in the one at Georgia. They're going to enjoy that. Okay, out of time for today, folks. Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to Wall Builders.